Finding your purpose. I believe there's something within all of us who longs to know why we're here on this earth. What is our purpose for living? Why did God bring us here? Why has God kept us in this earth? Whether you're young and just starting out in your life, or whether you're in the middle of your life now and you're growing up kids and you're in the middle of all these different things in your life, or whether you're now in the sunset years of your life, God has a purpose and a plan. And we're always searching for the answers to the question of why am I here? What's God's plan and purpose for my life? I think the reason sometimes it's difficult for people to find their purpose in life is because there's so many voices in the world that's calling us. We have voices all around us calling, bidding for our attention, wanting us to follow their direction. And so it's always difficult for us to distinguish which voice we should follow. Sadly today, there are millions and millions of people, not only just in the world, but also in the church, who've listened to the wrong voice. They've listened to the voice of this world, the devil, and they're now engaged in a life's work that's, they have no happiness, they have no peace, they have no direction or clearness of their life. And one day they're going to come to the end of their life, and they're going to look back over their life and realize they lived their entire life bringing no fulfillment to themselves nor anyone else. What a sad way to live your life. What a sad way to end your life, to come to the end and realize I've never had a real purpose for living. I believe today, though, I've come to tell you that I believe we can have a purpose. And I believe that you and I that are here today, and if you have Jesus in your heart, and he's a new person in your life, that you can know the right voice. You can hear a distinct voice. You can hear the voice of God calling and speaking to you and giving you direction and purpose for your life. And because of that, one day you can look back over your life and say with confidence, listen, I made the right choice. I gave, I helped, I loved, I went, I sacrificed, I pushed the kingdom of God forward. I'm happy to know that I'm going to lay down my life and I have a purpose to live this whole life and made a difference in my generation. The Apostle Paul came to the end of his life, and what did he say? I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. That's the kind of testimony we need when we come to the end of our life. Amen. One day, if Pastor Gary's still your pastor, and you passed from this world, and your casket's here in front of the church or down at the funeral home, and he comes to speak over your life, may he be able to look at that casket and say, this brother, this sister lived a life of purpose. They made meaning in their life. They changed the life they lived. They helped their generation. They pushed the kingdom of God forward. Amen. That's the kind of life we need to live. And when we come to the end, we need to die with purpose, living in purpose. Today in our story, Isaiah, there's a few things he experienced in his process of finding his purpose in life. And God took him through some things. And I just want to share those today with you. And hopefully you also will maybe kind of go through the same journey as Isaiah did. And at the end, you will find your purpose. And one day you'll live and look back and say, I lived a good life, fulfilled in this world. I believe today, if you're going to find your purpose, first of all, you need to see what Isaiah saw. You need to see what Isaiah saw. Our story today opens with interesting words. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died. And that's a really interesting phrase there. Uzziah had been the king of Judah for 52 years. And after a long period of strength and prosperity and peace in Israel, the king was now dead. He's passed off the scenes. Suddenly, there's an Assyrian army gathering itself together to come and invade Judah. And with the king gone, and there's a time now of national sorrow and grief and uncertainty and national crisis going on, Isaiah's living with a heavy load upon his shoulders. And he's just completely perplexed with all the things happening, not only in his personal life, but in his nation. And he walks into the temple one day, and he walks in there perplexed and downhearted, but he leaves in a few moments with purpose and direction and God's plan for his life. And so what happened while he was in there? The Bible says that when Isaiah went into the temple, he had a vision of God. He saw God in his power, in his glory, and demonstrated in his majesty. And what a transformation that happened in the heart of Isaiah. I mean, his life was transformed in a moment of time after seeing God in his divinity, and his power, and his sovereignty, and his glory. What was Isaiah seeing there? I believe God was showing him, Isaiah, listen, The earthly king may be dead, but I'm still right where I'm supposed to be. I'm still sitting on the throne. I'm high and lifted up, and I'm showing you my glory. You had your eyes on the earthly king. Get your eyes on me, because I know where you are. I know your purpose. I know your plan for your life. I've got you in the palm of my hand. I'm guiding your every step. I want to encourage you today. If you're going to find your purpose, friend, the first thing you need to do is you need to see what Isaiah saw. See God in his glory. See him in his presence and his power. Amen. Let there be a transformation happen in your heart. Amen. If you spend time in the presence of God and see him for who he is and see his glory revealed in your life, you'll start your purpose. You'll start finding your path that you need to be walking in this world. Man, what an important thing. I just want to say to you, you'll probably not have the same experience that Isaiah did, but you'll leave the presence of God knowing there's peace in your heart. God has you in the palm of his hand, and he's directing your life and your heart. When I was about 5 years old, I woke up every morning, about 6 or 7 years old, I woke up every morning about 5 o'clock, and I was having convulsions and seizures. Didn't know where it came from, what it was caused by. I would just start just jerking in my bed, and my head would stiffen up, my body would just contort, and I shared a room with my brother, and so my brother would run down the hall to my parents' room and get my mom and dad up and say, John's having a seizure, and my dad would come in and take me in his arms and take me into the living room and sit down on the hearth and begin to plead the blood of Jesus over me and begin to pray. My mom and dad were men and women of faith and trust in God, and so they just begin to rebuke the enemy and pray over my body and just ask God to deliver me, and I'd go through this for about 20 minutes. In the morning, it's about 5 o'clock every morning. I had 4 siblings. It got everybody up. They came in there because of the commotion and prayed over me. And after about 20 minutes, I would just completely go back to normal and get up and go to school and go through my activities. And the next morning at 5 o'clock, almost on the dot, the same episode would happen. It kept getting more intense. And so my mom was concerned and took me to the doctor. Had some tests run on me and checking me out. And the doctor said, I have no idea what's happening in John. So we're going to send him to a specialist and have him to be checked. And so as a little boy, growing up in church, listening to my mom and dad pray and have faith and trust in God, seeing pastors pray over people. Amen. Just a little guy. But I had this seed of faith in my heart. On a Wednesday night, we had service Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Back in those days, you know how it was. Yeah, and went to church on a Wednesday night. And after service, the pastor would always end the service. Anybody need prayer, come up to the front. We'll lay hands on you, anoint you with oil. And so as a little guy, my mom and dad brought me up there in front of the church. And that night, on a Wednesday night service, that pastor anointed me with oil. And 52 years ago, God touched me that night. I never had another seizure, never had another convulsion or anything. God touched my body. I mean, the reason I'm sharing that with you is because as a little boy, that encounter with God, that moment where I saw God touch me and heal my body, that put something in my heart, a faith that began to develop in my heart. Amen. Today, I've been in the ministry almost 40 years and served 16 years as a missionary and 18 years as a pastor. It's kept my focus and my purpose in life driving forward because I saw God for who he was. I've not only seen God in his power to heal, but I've seen him in his power to provide, and I've seen him in his power to guide, and I've seen him demonstrate his power in my life in so many other ways. And he wants to do that in your life every day. Amen. If you're going to find your purpose, you need to see what Isaiah saw. See the glory of God. See his power in your life every day. And that will start you on the direction of finding your purpose. Man, if you want to find your purpose in life, not only do you need to see what Isaiah saw, but second of all, you need to feel what Isaiah felt. The Bible says, when Isaiah saw the Lord, he instantly realized, listen, I've got some major problems in my life. Not only did he see a vision of God, listen to me, church, he saw a vision of himself. The Bible says when he saw the Lord high and lifted up, he also saw his own soul. Boy, I keep falling apart here, sorry. He saw his own problem and his sin. What did Isaiah say? He said, woe is me. I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell amongst people of unclean lips. We're in trouble. We have problems. When you see the Lord high and lifted up, you see his power and his glory demonstrated. Oftentimes it will humble us, right? It will bring us low. I mean, we'll see ourselves as nothing in the presence of God. He saw the Lord's glory, his power, his majesty, and he said, woe is me. I'm undone. If you're going to find your purpose in life, you need to feel what Isaiah felt. You need to feel humbled before God. You need to feel low before him. I'm undone. The text actually means in the Hebrew, I'm undone means I am unraveling. It means coming apart. When I see God in his glory and I see him in his majesty, my life is falling apart before God. How many's ever felt that way before? You come to church and God's moving in the altars and you come to pray or whatever and your preacher preaches a great message and you're convicted and you just feel the presence of God. All of a sudden you feel like, man, Lord, I'm so far from you. I'm so far from where I need to be. My life is falling apart in your presence. God sometimes wants us to get to that place. Amen. I mean, that's part of finding our purpose in life is being humble before him and being contrite before him. David had an affair with Bathsheba. We know the story. And when Nathan the prophet comes and says, you're the man. And we find in 51st Psalms, David begins to pray a prayer of God. Create me a clean heart, renew a right spirit within me, take away my sins. I mean, he's confessing everything. But what's cool in that prayer, close to the end of that prayer, he tells the Lord, Lord, you love burnt offerings and sacrifices, and I could bring that to you. I could bring you a burnt offering. I could bring you a sacrifice. But really, that's not what you want from me. What you want from me is a contrite spirit. You want me to be humble before you. That's what you like in all of our lives, is a spirit that's contrite, humble before God. That has to be a part of our journey with God. We have to be humble before him. We have to feel what Isaiah felt. Say, Lord, I'm undone. I need your presence. I need your guidance in my life for me to be the person that you want me to be. And oftentimes, that's where God wants us to get. And so Isaiah felt conviction. He confessed, Lord, I'm nothing. I'm undone. And then we see the cleansing power of God coming. And they take tongs off the altar and touched his lips and purged him and takes away his sins and gets him ready for God to use him in a mighty way. Amen. You're going to find your purpose in life. You've got to first of all see what Isaiah saw. Second of all, you need to feel what Isaiah felt. And thirdly today, if you're going to find your purpose in life, you need to hear what Isaiah heard. You need to hear what he heard. The Bible says, in the middle of all this experience, and God's revealing himself and bringing him humble before him, suddenly he hears the voice of the Lord saying, who will go for us? Whom shall I send? I think oftentimes the most frustrating thing about a pastor is people oftentimes come and give their heart to Jesus and accept him, and then they just sit down and say, okay, Pastor Gary, I'm ready to go to heaven. I gave my heart to the Lord. Got everything right. My name's in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I'm ready to go. And we're just waiting for Jesus to come and take us or have the rapture to take place. And that's not why God saves us. God saves us to be a part of his kingdom, to work and to labor and to be involved, to be called, to have purpose in our life and to make a difference in the kingdom of God. Amen. And I look across here today and have some beautiful senior saints in here. I want to encourage you guys. God's not done with you. I mean, even in your life, God has a purpose and a plan for you. And you need to hear him speaking to you and directing your lives. Young people, I mean, don't get caught up in career building and building homes and getting wealth and just all those things. That's not what God brought us here for. He brought us here to listen to him speak to us and use us in his kingdom. Amen. God may be calling you today to do something for him. He may call you across the street. Others, he may crawl across the seas. Some of you, he may call around the corner. Others, he may call around the world. It doesn't matter where he's calling you. You have to listen to the voice of God, though. Amen. It's so important to hear what God says. And once God begins to speak to us, we see him for who he is. We're humbled before him. We feel what Isaiah felt. Then we begin to hear the voice of God speaking to us. There will come a time in your life that God's going to want more from you. He's going to talk to you. He's going to say, I want some more from you. I've got something for you to do, or I've got a plan for you, and or I've got a problem that I want you to look at. Now what are you going to do about this problem? How are you going to serve in this capacity? Back in 1992, Darlene and I were just young people trying to follow God with all of our heart. We'd graduated from Bible school, done some ministry, worked in some churches as assistant pastoring and things. And we're trying to find our direction. We were in between ministries, and so we were seeking God's direction. I was praying one night in a church, and I had the key. The pastor just let me go down there and pray. And as I walked around the church that night, I said, God, I've got to hear from you tonight. I need to know what your direction is for my wife and I. And that night in the altar, right where Sister Nancy's sitting there close, the Lord spoke to me. He told me to go plant a church. And I thought, oh, how do you do that? And so 2 weeks later, I was planting a new church in Springfield, Missouri. I was there a year and a half. We knocked on doors, invited people to come, started with 8 people. And for a year and a half, we never saw any converts come. I mean, hardly anybody come. And we were just reaching the few people we had there and just preaching to them and giving them our heart. One day I got in my car driving through the city and I told the Lord, it was pouring down rain that day, I remember. I said, Lord, you've called us to this city and we're not seeing anybody saved. And I'm telling you today that we're willing to take anybody in our church. We don't care what they smell like, what they look like, where they came from, what their background is. We don't care anything about that. If you'll bring them to our church, we'll love them. And 5 weeks later, the door opened one Sunday, and about 10 hippies come in the back door of our church. Big old long hair and head chains and all kinds of, I mean, just like they came off their motorcycle gang or something, you know. And they came in that day. I preached the gospel. I'd been working with them at my job. I'd had a Bible study at my job, and I was trying to reach them. And we started a Bible study in our home. And one day they finally came to church. And that day, 7 or 8 of them gave their heart to Jesus Christ. And the Lord spoke to me that day and said, John, I brought them. Now what are you going to do with them? How are you going to love them? And how are you going to help them? I heard the voice of the Lord. I heard the call of God. I found my purpose. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, God will put things in your path. He's going to ask you, this is what I want you to do. I want you to focus on this need. I want you to focus on this people or these your neighbors or your co-worker or whatever. I want you to focus on loving them and bringing them into the kingdom of God. So we have to understand what Isaiah heard. We need to hear the same thing. We've got to hear that. While I was pastoring there for 15 years in Springfield, then that's when God began to speak to our hearts about being missionaries and calling us to the field. And we thought we'd pastor Brother Gary the rest of our life. We loved pastoring, loved what we were doing, loved the people we were working with. But God began to change that focus and focused on missions. And we answered that call. And the first day we walked into a Roma village, almost 2,500 gypsies in one consolidated place. Trash on the grounds and smell like you wouldn't believe, and just nastiness. And we preached outside that day, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, praying for 45, 50 people for healings and just problems in their life. The Lord spoke to us again and says, I brought you here. Now what are you going to do about where I brought you? If you're going to find your purpose in life, you've got to be willing to hear what Isaiah heard. You've got to hear the voice of God speak in your life. Let him direct you and guide your life. And the last thing I want to share with you today is this. If you're going to find your purpose in life, you not only see what Isaiah saw, you not only feel what he felt, you not only hear what he heard, but last of all, you need to say what Isaiah said. We've got to be willing to say what Isaiah said. After the Lord had asked the question, who will go for us and whom shall I send? Isaiah said, here am I, Lord. What? Send me. Say it one more time. Send me. We've got to be willing to say what Isaiah said. We've got to be willing to say, Lord, here am I. Send me. I don't know how many people I've came across, and your pastor could say the same thing in the last 40 years of our ministry, how many people we've came across that have come up to us sometime in our ministry and said, God is speaking to me. God is calling me. God is directing me. God is wanting me to go here or do this or do that or be involved in this or that. And as a pastor and a missionary, what joy it is to hear people say, God's calling me, or God's focusing my attention this direction, whatever. I love to hear that. The sad thing is, oftentimes people will say that, but not all those people who say, God's directing me here, will say, here am I, Lord, send me. They hear the call, but they don't make the last step of saying, I'll go. That's what's sad. I had an opportunity to work for 4.5 years in a Bible college. And I was a dean of students there and also taught about nine hours of classes. And loved being around young people. They were zealous and just ready to go tear the kingdom of God up, you know, and get out there and do great things. And in that time there, I would have them come to my office and say, John, I feel like God's calling me to plant a church, or God's calling me to youth ministry or worship ministry or whatever. And I would always encourage them, man, follow that call. I saw them see what Isaiah saw in our chapel services, in our revivals at the school. I saw in our convocation services where hundreds and thousands of people would come together and they would get in those altars and crying, their hands in the air and tears running down their faces, seeking God with all their heart. God, I'm making myself available to you. And I believe they saw God. I think they felt what Isaiah felt. I think they also heard what Isaiah heard. And they were making a commitment. They went through all this process that God was getting them ready. That when they walked out of that Bible school and went out into the harvest, they were going to make a difference. The sad thing is, I saw them walk across the stage and receive their diploma, go into the world, and many of them never answered that call. They felt it, they saw it, they heard it, but they weren't willing to say that last thing, Lord, I'll go. Now they're caught up in careers, they're caught up in all kinds of things in life. Some of them have lost out with God, not even serving the Lord. They've lost it because they weren't willing to make that last commitment, saying, I'll go, Lord. But thankfully, there was a number that did make the commitment in Bible school. And today, they're pastoring churches, they're missionaries across the world, they're worship leaders, they're all kinds of things in the kingdom of God. It's because they're willing to make that last step, saying, God, I'll go. I'll say what Isaiah said. Here am I. Send me. Let me conclude today by telling you this. There's nothing extraordinary about men like Moses and Elijah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. I mean, we could just name Paul, Peter. We could name so many people. Let's name some women. Deborah, Esther. We can name all these people in the Bible that were dynamic people. They're just ordinary people. They were just like you sitting in this pew this morning. They had temptations, they had trials, they had tests, they had problems. They had hang-ups in their life. They were ordinary people. But you know what made them extraordinary? It's because when God spoke to them and asked them to do something, they were willing to say, Lord, I'll do it. And because they were willing to say yes to God, God took ordinary people and made extraordinary people out of them. And God is able to do that in your life if you're willing to say yes to Him. If you're willing to see what Isaiah saw, feel what he felt, hear what he heard, and say what he said. Isaiah heard God's call in the temple. Moses heard the call of God in the wilderness. Samuel heard the call of God in his bed. Jeremiah received the call as a child. Ezekiel was on the riverbank when he heard the call of God. Peter was fishing. Paul was on the road to Damascus. They were all in different places. And it doesn't matter where you are today, what place you are in your life, that God's calling. God wants to give you a purpose and a plan for your life. What you have to be willing to do is say, yes, I'll go. God bless you this morning. Amen. Thank you so much.